Praise the Lord. Got something special in that bag. And what is in this bag I found to be the reason why the children of Israel did not go into the promised land. You remember there were only two above the age of 18 that left Egypt and entered into the promised land. God raised up an entirely new generation. And there's a reason why. There is a reason. I found it right here. It's in this bag. When I found it, I didn't want to even touch it. It's very repugnant to me. And we'll see. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture in different places tonight. The Lord will help us for a little while. And reading especially out of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 10, then we want to go on over into chapter 8, and perhaps we'll go even a little further. Deuteronomy, for you that are not familiar with your Bible, it's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, beware, then beware, then beware. And I fear that a lot of our homeless folks have come to this place. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Amen. In those verses, God gave Israel the promised land. Great and good cities already built. Houses full of good things which were already built and stocked. Wells already dug and flowing with water. Vineyards and olive yards already planted and fruitful at growing and producing. Chapter 8. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply Thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before thine face. So shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Chapter 11. I know it's a lot of reading tonight, but I want you to get this setting. Chapter 11, verse 10. For the land, whether thou goest in to possess it, it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came, where thou sowedest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land, whether ye go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Four words out of the next verse. Take heed to yourselves. Amen. You may be seated. The children of Israel, really, in this land of promise that God gave to them, they had everything that they would ever need in life. I mean, it was good things. And the Bible said, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. And I want the Lord to help us tonight as we talk to you about what kept the children of Israel out of Canaan, the land of promise. If you remember in Egypt, and if you know this, you'll remember it as I go over it again. Water was scarce. Hardly ever did they have rain in Egypt. It was a dry desert environment, and irrigation was carried on by the hard labor of these children of Israel when they were down in Egypt's bondage. It were they that was digging trenches with shovels and picks, amen, and turning wheels by treading with their feet so that the water would be brought up from the river, a Nile River, in buckets and poured into the trenches. You see, they were under a heavy slavery bondage down in Egypt's land. Amen. If you remember well that Pharaoh killed all the male children, every male child that was born to the children of Israel, he had slain. Amen. What a cruel taskmaster. And he made them work laboriously hard with the scarcity of food and just enough to survive from one day to the next. Amen. But you see, in this promised land, there was plenty of everything. Amen. God said, I care for this land of promise. I'm seeing after this land of promise. I'll give you rain when you need rain. I'll give you the sunshine when you need the sunshine. Amen. I'll take care of you in this land of promise. Amen. There will be plenty of rainfall for your crops. I want the Lord to help me tonight as I want to talk to you what kept the Israelites or the children of Israel out of the promised land. Amen. And in this eighth chapter that I read to you, amen, if you was to go back and carefully read these verses of Scripture, amen, especially when you start into verse 10 and read on down through the rest of that chapter, amen, you see, God knew the tendency of this chosen people that is called Israel. Amen. He was speaking prophetically to them. Amen. Of their natural inclinations that they had, they would forget God so quick. Amen. Especially during the times of prosperity and success. Now, y'all stay with me tonight. Amen. God is not against his people prospering. Amen. God wants you to have adequate and plenty and abundantly above that you have need of. Amen. God's not against that. But God is against when you forget him. And you forget his commandments. And you forget what he has promised in his word. Amen. If you're the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. But the secret of that is in the first clause of that verse. The willing and the obedient. Amen. And God knew the tendency of the children of Israel. Amen, that when the times of prosperity and success came, they had a great inclination to forget God. And I wonder, in America, if that is not just about the condition that we are right now. Amen, even the poor people among us that is classified as poor, yet they have more than anything they've ever had in their life. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have safety nets that the government has supplied. Amen. For those that cannot provide and could not provide. Amen. We are a prosperous country. We are a prosperous nation. We are a successful nation. We have more than adequate supply. Amen. I don't know of anybody in this congregation tonight that's going hungry. Looks like to me you've all had plenty, if not more than plenty. Amen. We have food in our pantries at home. You have food in your refrigerator. You have food in the deep freeze. Come on here. Amen. You have a roof over your head. You have food to go on the table. Amen. You have shoes on your feet. You have clothes on your back. We have everything that we could ever think that we would need in this life. Amen. Of course, I think that Paul the Apostle put it in good terms. Amen. Amen. And if we could just catch a hold, a glimpse of what Paul talked about. Amen. That we should be satisfied with what we have. Amen. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. And we're always striving for something else, for more. Amen. Help me here. Amen. I think that probably most of us in this building tonight, Amen. Could not complain. If you did complain, amen, it's because that you want as much as Johnny's got, and Johnny wants as much as Susie's got, and Susie wants as much as a Smith's got. I got that in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, we are always after one more. Something else. Something better. Amen. If you drive an old dilapidated car or automobile that breaks down before it gets to the end of the block, you want a better one. Amen. If you get a better one, you want a better one. Amen. If you get a cheap one, then you want a little more expensive one the next time you trade around. And God's not opposed to any of that. Come on here. I said, God's not opposed to any of that. He said, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. God's not against prosperity, but it is when our prosperity, amen, lifts us up to where we feel like we have acquired this. This is ours. We've done it with our hands. Amen. It is what we have acquired. And I want to tell you, amen, it's God that gave you enough sense to get out of bed this morning. It's God that gave you the ability to work on a job. It's God that gave you enough sense up here in that brain. The thing is called a brain in your head to know how to do what you need to do every day that you work and live. And if it wasn't for God, hey man, you wouldn't be able to even tie your own shoes. Amen. If it wasn't for God, amen, you wouldn't have enough potatoes to eat after church tonight. If it wasn't for God, amen, your shoes would be, amen, worn out and dilapidated. If it wasn't for God, the clothes on your body would be threadbare. But God has given you what you have and what you possess. And we ought to, every day that you live, stop long enough and say, thank God that you've been so gracious to me. We are a spoiled generation. Somebody say amen. God knew the tendencies of the children of Israel. Amen. That when times of prosperity come, and I want to tell you, I've found the same traits, amen, in our own present time, that as long, I don't know how to say this, I'm just going to say it, and you'll have to take it or, amen, or holler out, whichever, amen. But when we had nothing, amen, it wasn't hard to get people to go to the house of God and to pray and seek the face of the Lord. Come on here. Amen. But since we have become more affluent in life, amen, and we have to see after this, and we have to see after that, at least, are y'all still with me? At least we feel like we have to do this, and we have to do that, and the house of God stays empty, and our prayer bones, amen, are no longer calloused. Amen. And help me here. Amen. Our knees hardly ever bend before God, and our eyes very seldom go to the heavens and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. And I want to tell you, it's God's goodness. It's God's blessings. Amen. And the same God, help me here. Amen. Some years ago, I'm going to preach a little bit tonight. Some years ago, amen, we was having a revival meeting in this church before we ever made the addition. Amen. Been a long time ago. Now, and somebody said to me, I'd go to revival tonight. Amen. But I got to pick the beans that's in the garden. Amen. I said, the same God that put the beans on the vine can take them off of the vine. Amen. You use your beans, help me here, for an excuse not to go to God's house. I'm preaching to y'all. Amen. Because we have prospered and successful. Amen. Help me here. Ah, brother. The same God that gave the green vine and gave beans on the green vine, amen, can cause a drought and you have nothing in your refrigerator. Amen. Help me. Oh, God, cannot we understand that whatever we have, it is all God's doings? Well, glory to God. Just wanted to get that in there this evening. Praise the Lord. It's easy to gripe and complain and murmur of what we don't have. I get so tired of hearing people complain. Help me here.
Be thankful for what you got.
Huh? Help me. I said, be thankful for what you got. Amen. It's the highest will of God that everybody prosper. And especially God's own people. God's own children. Amen. But in the process of that, give Him the thanks and the glory and the praise for all that He's done. Amen. He has made abundant provisions. Hallelujah, and given exceeding great and precious promises that we might have all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter, amen, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Amen, God wants His people to have something worthwhile. Amen, but it is only when one becomes selfish and seeks prosperity at the expense of our relationship with God and our faithfulness to God's house and to His Word and His commandments and His statutes. Amen. What do we need? What do we need to pray for? We've got everything we need. Amen. I believe, if I remember right, Mel Torrey. I believe it was Mel Torrey that wrote that book. What's the name of that book? Like a Mighty Wind. First time he came to America. Amen. He was astounded that there were so worldly minded people. Amen. And when he got off the airplane in the country where he come from, people prayed and sought the Lord and went to church and revival. Amen. They had such a revival. Amen. In his native country. Amen. That they called the fire trucks out from town. Amen. Because they said the church was on fire. And when they got there, they looked up and there was flames. Amen. Leaping out of the top of the church building. But there's nothing that was on fire and nothing consumed. It was a Holy Ghost fire. Amen. That was dwelling in that place. Amen. And Mel Torrey said, they had such a revival. I'm trying to think of the name of the country where he came from. Indonesia. They had such a revival in Indonesia that it spread all over that country. It's a poor country. Amen. But the people were hungry for God. Can I preach to y'all a little bit tonight? And when he got off the airplane here, he heard people cursing. He saw people drinking. He saw people reveling. Amen. And he didn't understand it. He said, why is it nobody's praying? Why is it there's no godliness here? And he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, they have everything they need. They don't need me. Hey man, help me here. That's about the mentality of this generation. Hey man, I'm going to preach to y'all tonight. Hey man, I listened to the news last night and this morning. Hey man, in the state of California, in the city of San Francisco. Hey man, they're burning, the atheists are burning churches. Protestant churches. Amen. And they're trying to outlaw Christianity. Amen. In that part of California. Amen. Help me here. And having some success at it. Amen. It's that atheist is trying to get to in God we trust off of our currency. Amen. And it comes from that wicked area of the United States of America. Amen. You know why? We have everything. We don't need a God. Amen. We've got everything we have. We got it with our own hands. We got it with our own ability. We got it with our own talent. God didn't have anything to do with it. Amen. But I want to tell you, all nations shall be turned into hell that forget God. Amen. We need to understand that God ought to be the center of attraction. He ought to be the hub of the wheel of your life. And if you have to get to the place where you feel like you don't need God, and you don't need the church, and you don't need His commandments, and you don't need His statutes, amen, you're in trouble with God.
Amen. Eat till you're full, verse 12. Goodly houses filled with good things.
multiplied herds and flocks. Amen. Multiplied silver and gold. Got everything you need. Multiplied blessings of every kind. But beware. Beware. Lest thou forget the Lord thy God. Amen. Praise God. And then he goes back into this 8th chapter and he reminisces. God talks to, are y'all still with me? Amen. To his children here, and he tells them how he brought them out of the land of Egypt into this good land that flows with milk and honey. Amen. And I read this published in the Holiness Messenger some years ago, and I cut it out, and I wished I could remember all the details. Amen. How much food and how much water it took every day. Amen. To supply these children of Israel that came out of Egypt's bondage. Train loads of food every day. A train a mile long loaded with, amen, food. And another train a mile long loaded with, amen, water to supply the children of Israel for one day. Amen. Somewhere between 3 million and 6 million people came out of Egypt. Hey man, are y'all still with me? That's a lot of people to feed. Hey man, the daily supply of food and fuel and water for Israel's existence. Hey man, this writer said 6 million. Hey man, 100,000 and 800 people. Hey man, according to Exodus chapter 12. Hey man, would be tremendous. Yet the supply was provided. Hey man, from natural and heavenly sources for the 15,065 days that the children of Israel, amen, traveled when they left the land of Egypt to the promised land. Hey, amen, I want to tell you, God took care of the children of Israel. Amen, help me here. Brother, amen, look at what they were gaining. They were gaining, amen, houses that they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, amen, herds and flocks that they never had before. Amen, they acquired all these things that I read to you in these scriptures tonight. It was all theirs, amen, beside the land itself. Amen, God gave it to them. Amen. Help me here. But if you read Numbers chapter 13, amen, it tells us about even the grapes that came out of verse 23 in Numbers 13. Amen. A branch with a cluster of grapes. Amen. Carried between two men. Amen. Until that cluster of grapes. Amen. Are y'all sitting here? Amen. Dragged the ground between them. Amen. And one writer said that every grape, amen, and the smallest was as large as a plum. Amen. One cluster, amen, had to be carried by two men. Amen. That's what God prepared, amen, for the children of Israel. Pomegranates and figs and, amen, milk and honey. Amen. Freedom above all. Freedom from slavery. And the taskmasters I've got right here in this bag. Amen. What you folks, amen, going to see here in just a minute. Amen. And the reason most of them never got to the promised land. Amen. God said the land of promise is yours. I give it to you. There's milk there. There's honey there. Amen. Help me here. You won't have any taskmasters there. There's nobody with whips standing over you, beating you to make another brick. Amen. Help me here. It's a land of freedom. It's a land that you love. Amen. Did you know I read, great God, from the time that Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, amen, till they entered into the promised land,
Amen. Moses, amen, performed 42 miracles. Amen. For the children of Israel by the command of God. Amen. I don't know anybody here in this service, amen, that in your whole lifetime has had 42 miracles. Amen. Some of us has had miracles, but not 42. Amen. But yet, come on here, they did not enter the promised land. Somebody say amen. Amen. From the time they left out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, that was a miracle. The waters divided hither and thither, and they went across on dry land. Amen. Help me here. And then God drowned Pharaoh's army. Amen. Somebody said, why? At that time of year, amen, at that time of year, the Red Sea was so low, amen, that you could walk across it ankle deep and never get your feet muddy. Amen. I said, that's just as great a miracle to me. Amen. For God drowned the whole army in ankle deep water. Praise God. Amen. God's still in the miracle working business. Hallelujah. And they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. Pharaoh's army drowned. They came to Marah. Amen. And the waters were too bitter for them to drink. And they couldn't drink it. And they complained and they murmured against Moses. Amen. And God spoke to Moses that there was a certain tree. Cut it down and throw it into the spring head. And when it did, the waters became sweet. And they all drank it. Amen. Come on here. When the fiery serpents, amen, bit them in their wilderness journeys. And again they complained and murmured. Amen. And God told Moses what to do and to make a, amen, brazen serpent and put it on a pole. And if they would just look at it, they would be healed of that poisonous venom. Did you know that there were some even then that would not even look? They were so rebellious and hard-headed. They would not even look at the brazen serpent. They would rather die. I want to tell you, we have a generation right now in America, amen, that they have no interest in God. They have no interest in heaven. They have no interest in eternity. They have no interest in anything else but this life and what they can get out of it here and now. Amen. God help us to understand that God is the author of all good things. Amen. When they had no water to drink, amen, Moses caused water to come out of that rock. And the Bible said that that rock followed them through all their wilderness journey. When they had nothing to eat and their provisions that they brought with them ran out and there was nothing else to eat, God sent manna from heaven. Amen. And they gathered it and ate it. Amen. Angels' food. Praise God. Amen. And when they complained in just the same chapter, the following chapter, they complained because they had the manna. Amen. And didn't have any meat to eat. Amen. And God sent them quails to, amen, to eat. Thousands and thousands of quails. Amen. One writer said for that many people, it would have taken, amen, over 20 billion, amen, quails to feed that many people. Amen. And while they cleaned the quail and cooked them, and while the meat was still in their teeth, amen, they complained again to God. Amen. And to Moses, help me here. God followed them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Miracle after miracle after miracle. 42 in all. Amen. And yet they still have the promised land to look forward to. Are y'all still with me? I thought today, amen, while I was reading these verses, all the miracles, and I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it, all the miracles Israel had seen did not cure them from unbelief. All the miracles that God gave them did not stop their complaining and griping and murmuring. Amen. And I want to tell you, All the blessings of God that we have in America today does not stop people from griping and complaining now. I'm going to close here in a few minutes. The 11th chapter of Numbers, the Bible tells us that when they were complaining, amen, complaining to about Moses and about God, that brought them out into this land to die. Amen. The Bible said that God's wrath burned among them with a fire and slew hundreds and hundreds of them because of their rebellion and their griping and their murmuring and their complaining. Listen to me, people. Be thankful for what you have. If it's not as much, you don't have as much as Shelby Frazier's got. Be thankful for what you got. I don't even know what he's got, other than he drives a Buick. In this 11th chapter of Numbers, amen. This is what kept the children of Israel from going into the land of promise, because their hearts was back in Egypt and had no desire to be led of the Spirit and the power of God. Whitney, I want you to come and look in this bag and get out what kept these children of Israel from going into the promised land. Amen. You might be surprised. Hold the bag. Nasty old garlic. Put that back in there. What else kept them out of the promised land? Onions. Now, if you read the 11th chapter in verse 5, it tells us that the reason they could not go into the promised land, they always complained. I want to go back to Egypt. We've got garlic and we've got in one place said wild onions. Amen. And we've got cucumbers. Amen. Help me, Lord. But what they forgot was they had slavery and they had bondage and they had shackles. Amen. And they had taskmasters and they had whips. Amen. Applied to their back. And their young men were slain and killed. Amen. Down in Egypt. And now they still want to go back there. Thank you. Shoot. Little Chip, get your Bible. Turn to 2 Peter, chapter 2, starting at verse 20. Read down through verse 22. Amen. The Apostle Paul put it another way. He said, if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, Peter the Apostle, the same Apostle that stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached one message, and 3,000 people got saved, and he preached again down at Solomon's porch, and 5,000 were converted. Amen. Help me here. Amen. That powerful, amen, day of Pentecost preacher, now he's writing to the church. Amen. And he's writing in verse 20. Read it, Brother Chip. Praise God. Uh-huh. Right. Worse than the first. Uh-huh. It had been better for them. It would have been better for them that they had never prayed at an altar, never tasted the good joy of salvation, never had a relationship with God, never been to Mount Sinai. It would have been better for them if they had died in Egypt without ever knowing the power of God than to have tasted of the power of the world to come and then turn around and go back. Hey man, God said it would be better for them on judgment day if they had never known than to have known and then go back. And it is like in verse 22. Yes. Right. Amen. And he is saying, and that's exactly what these children of Israel, amen, when they got to a certain point in that wilderness journey, they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back. Charles Kahn, a great Church of God preacher of bygone years now, amen, wrote a book entitled Why Men Go Back. Shocking book. But yet a powerful book. Amen. If you ever get your hands on it, read it. But we are in a generation in America, in our holiness movement, that entire churches, amen, is going back to their vomit and wallowing in the mire. They were washed. They were sanctified. They were holy. Amen. They were heading for the land of promise. But their heart now is turned back again to the wallowing in the mire and the muck and the filth of this world. Amen. And repentance is a message of the bygone generation. Amen. You don't have to repent of your sins anymore. Amen. Just go to a praise and worship service. Amen. Where the power team is. And just worship God with the rest of them. Amen. And you're all right when you get to heaven. But I want to tell you, God said it had been better for you to have never known, amen, than to now have tasted of the power of God and of the power of the world to come and go back, amen, into Egypt. Why go back to the hog pen, to the slop, amen, to the filth, to the muck and the mire and the corruption? Amen. There's nothing back there but garlic and onions. Amen. When you can have milk and honey and figs. Come on here. Amen. And God's promised great things for you if you'll journey on to the land of promise. And yet, we have a generation in the church world that thinks that they are an exception to the rule. And they're different. They can play with the world and dabble in the world and still go to heaven when they die. God said, you're like the dog. Now, I know this is gross. Have anybody here ever seen a dog vomit? Put your hand up. You ever seen a dog? And then when he gets through heaving, amen, turn right around and lick up that filth and swallow it again. God said that's the way folks are that have tasted at the altar of prayer. They go right back into that filthy world. They never got the onions and the garlic and the leeches and the cucumbers out of their heart. And God said, I'll give you a land flowing with milk and honey, water, wherever you need it, whenever you need it. There's no slavery. There's no bondage. Amen. Are y'all still with me? There's no taskmasters. There's no whips. Amen. Across your back. It is a land. Praise God, with fig trees. It's a land with pomegranates. Amen. It's a land that's grapes. Amen. Like plums and volleyballs and bananas like baseball bats. Hallelujah. And why people, amen, want a taste of the good things of the Lord and the blessings and the joy of salvation, the peace of God that passeth understanding, and then go right back to Egypt, amen, and eat of the filth and find themselves under the taskmaster and the slavery, amen, down in Egypt. And I've had them tell me, preacher, I never thought I'd go this far. I never thought I'd do this. I never thought. Most all of you in this church building here tonight were raised in holiness. Most every one of you had good, godly parents. And you were trained up and brought up in the ways of God in righteousness. And you'll never go to judgment day and say, I didn't know, and I didn't hear, and I didn't experience. Because you've been there. And you have tasted of the power of the world to come. And you've shouted these aisles of this church. Praise God. Amen. Oh, and you've rejoiced in the Lord. And you've danced in the Spirit. And you've wept around these altars. And go to God in eternity and say, God, I didn't have a chance. And God will open the books of eternity. And God will say, amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. On this Sunday night, amen, 2007, and on this Tuesday night, amen, 2006, in this revival meeting in 2001, amen, help me here, you were in church, amen, and you worshiped and you praised God, amen, and tell me, tell God, you don't have any knowledge, amen, I want to tell you, amen, eternity is going to be long. Hell's going to be hot. Amen. And there's no sense in you, amen, just spinning your wheels out there in the world when you can be in Canaan land. Amen. Eating of the fruit of the vine that God's prepared for you. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your presence would walk the aisles of this church building tonight. There are precious hearts that is here, that is not where they once were in your gracious kingdom of peace and joy. And I pray, Lord, that you'd touch their hearts tonight. Oh, God. There are some, surely, in this building, some precious, precious souls that out there in that muck and mire, wallowing in the filth, that at one time had known the blessings. Oh, God, I pray for those in this building under the sound of my voice, that they are certainly here, but their heart is looking back toward Egypt. Oh, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will break down that wall that has been built. Oh, God, and I pray that the Holy Ghost will walk into this sanctuary here tonight. Help every precious soul to realize of a certainty that they're getting ready to die. They're going to cross into that eternal world and give account. For Jesus' sake, I pray. While every head is bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask everybody, saint, sinner, backslider, cold and indifferent, let me ask you a question. And only you can really answer it. If you was to die tonight.
tonight, right now, would you be ready to face God with your record? Would you? Only you can answer that. I fear that there's some that's so close to the borderline. They're looking toward Egypt. Their feet may indeed be toward the promised land, but their heart's back in this land of Egypt. The slavery back there. The devil doesn't want you to see that slavery or hear the crack of that whip in your mind and ear again. Ah, no. He wants to just get you to see what good things you're missing out on. When that good times leads to nothing but slavery and bondage. While every head is bowed. I wonder in this service tonight if there's one hand that raised and say, Brother Savage, I'm sure not where I need to be. Pray for me. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I want my heart set on the promised land. Is there one here in this service tonight? Raise your hand. I'm reaching for you tonight, friend. You see, God knows your heart. God knows the thoughts of your mind. Is there one in this service? Anywhere in this building? Preacher, pray for me. We're going to come pray in just a few minutes. But I feel like I need, by the prodding of the Spirit, to give somebody an opportunity to pray. Is there one in this congregation tonight? Raise your hand right there where you are, preacher. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not where I have been. I'm not as close to God as I have been. I've been looking at the garlic and wild onions. But I want to make it to the promised land. Is there one precious soul in this building tonight? God bless you, son. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Is there one more here tonight? One more in this building that'll be honest enough to join this one precious soul and raise your hand. It's me too, preacher. I'm sure not where I have been and ought to be. I need more than what I've got. God bless you. There's two hands in this service tonight. Is there another here in this congregation that can swallow pride enough to say, I need the help of God. I need the help of the Lord. Is there one more? One more. One more. 30 seconds, we're going to come pray. Is there one more in this service tonight? Slip your hand up right there where you're at. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I really don't. God. Everybody stand. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Oh, God. Oh, God.